Okay, I saw recently in the Hamodia newspaper, they brought down from one of the Gedolei Hasidim that he said that in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we know that the Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva perished. And Gemara tells us, because Shaloi Nogu Kovet Zelazet, they didn't give honor properly one to another. And so this great Hasidic leader says that we have to increase our Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. And what he says, interestingly enough, is that it shouldn't be superficial. It shouldn't be on the outside. It should be something internal with depth. So I was thinking, how do we practice such Bein Adam L'Chaveroi when it's not superficial, when it's in depth? And I think perhaps I would like to offer, based on not the whole shiur of Rav Schlesinger, but a little piece of Rav Schlesinger, to how we can gain this concept of having Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, a sincere Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. So let's first begin with something I saw in Rav Schwab's Sefer, Mind Beis HaSheva, on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So Rav Schwab brings from a medrash that there are three mitzvahs that we see are tied together. One is Sfiras HaOmer, and the second is Bris Milah, and the third is the process by a Isha Sota. Isha Sota is a woman who was warned not to go into seclusion with a man. And then there's a question whether she committed an Aveira or not, and she goes through a whole process, and she brings a korban, Mincha Sota it's called, and she has to drink water, and if she's found that she did an Aveira, she dies a horrible death, and if she's found innocent, then let's say if she never had children, she'll have children. If she had sick children, she'll have healthy children. So Rav Schwab quotes a medrash, Rav Yochanan Omer, Al Tehi Mitzvah Sa Omer Kala Bainecha. The mitzvah of the Omer, which begins on the second night of Pesach, the mitzvah of the Omer should not be cheap in your eyes. Shal Yidei Mitzvah Sa Omer Zoch Avram Li Reshes Eretz Kanan. Because through the mitzvah of Omer, Avram Avinu was Zocha to inherit the land of Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, V'nasati l'chol zaracha achrecha, and I'm going to give this land to you and your children after you. And then the Pasuk says, on the condition, V'ato es brisi tishmor, that you should watch my bris. V'eze zem mitzvah so'aymer. So even though when we learn this Pasuk, we say that the bris means bris milah. But the Medrash here is saying, no, it's going on Sfiras HaOmer. So, Rav Shimon ben Lakish HaOmer, Lo'olam al tei mitzvah HaOmer kal b'necha, you shouldn't look at the mitzvah of HaOmer as being cheap, as a simple, easy mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. Shal yidei mitzvah HaOmer, Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom ben Ish l'Ishto. Because through Sfiras HaOmer, through the HaOmer, Hashem made peace between a man and his wife. In other words, that the mincha soita shares the same as a mincha that's brought for the Omer. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't just count Sfiras HaOmer like we do today. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have mincha HaOmer. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to cut the Omer, the grain, the barley, and then they would bring it also as a korban. So Minchas Soita and Minchas Omer share a common. And what is that? It's made out of barley. For example, on Shavuos, they bring Shtei Alechem, two breads. That's made out of wheat. But on the korban Omer was made out of barley, the same as the Minchas Soita. So the Medrash says that through the Omer, Hashem makes peace between man and his wife. Really, it's not the Omer, it's a separate mincha, mincha soita. But what the Medrash is trying to do is equate the mincha of soita to the mincha of the Omer. So the question is, Rav Schwab is looking for a link. What is there that connects together through these three mitzvahs? Omer, Bris Mila, because that was the pasuk that the Medrash brought. Va'atas Brisi Tishmar. The Medrash says it's referring to Omer. We know that the simple pshat is it's referring to Bris Mila. And then, what's the connection to Sota? We know that the Mincha Sota brings peace between man and his wife. Because when if she survives, so then we know she's innocent. And that brings the Shalom bias back into the house. Right? So, but yet, the Medrash doesn't say Mincha Sota. The Medrash says the Mincha Sa'omer. What the Medrash is trying to do is make a link between Mila, Omer, and Sota. What's the link? So Rav Schwab says that the Mincha Sa'omer came from Sa'orim. And barley is Michael Behema, is eaten by an animal. So what's the idea of the Omer that it's from barley? To teach us that if a person goes through the process of bringing the Mincha Sa'omer, which one of the processes was 13 times they would sift the barley, that there shouldn't be any impurities in the barley. So in other words, we're making sure that this barley is on the highest level of Kedusha. When a person does that, he's able to take food of an animal and bring it on the altar of Hashem, and bring it on the Mizbeach. So this teaches a person that if a person acts with holiness, he can, and he just like we checked the barley 13 times till we was ready to be brought as a korban on the Mizbeach, so too if a person checks himself and again, very good, Mefashish B'Maaseh, if a person checks himself, he's able to take his physical nature and he's able to elevate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the idea of the Mincha Sa'omer. So he says that, and with this idea we can understand the pasuk concerning the Omer. Shiva Shavuos Tisparloch, you should count between Pesach and Shavuos 7 weeks. Mehechel Chermish Bakoma Techel Lispar. You should begin when the sickle, the first day in Eretz Yisrael, they only have one day Yontif. So they would, on the first day of Yontif, they of course didn't cut down the barley. But on the second day, which is our second day of Yontif, but by them it's already first day Chol HaMoed, that's when they cut down the barley. So from that day, that's when you start counting the 7 weeks toward Shavuos. Chazal say, don't read this word bakoma, the standing grain, ela bakoma, shesviras oimer tzarich liyos bamida. When you count the omer, you shouldn't count the omer sitting down. You're supposed to count the omer standing up. Right. So in other words, we are compared to the standing grain of barley in the field, and just like in order to do the mitzvah of Omer, when we say Sviras Omer, it means we're doing 49 days from that day when you started to cut the barley for the korban of the Minchas Omer. So just like what's the procedure of the barley? You cut it standing up and you cut it off from the ground. So that's the same thing over here. We are connected to the ground, to the physical world. And how do we bring ourselves up? We have to cut ourselves off from this gashmius, the physical. We're attached to chumrius, to the physical world. And then we're able to elevate ourselves and to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every day, says Rav Schwab, when you're counting the Sviras HaOmer, you should count, I'm another day closer to cutting myself off from the Gashmias, and I'm raising myself up. That's why on Shavuos we have Shtei Alechem is made out of flour of wheat, because now it's elevated to food that a person eats. So we're indicating that we're going through these 49 days, elevating ourselves from barley to the wheat, from Michael Behemoth to Michael Adam. And now he says that's now we understand the comparison to the mitzvah of milah. Because mitzvah of milah is also that we're making a sign on a Jewish body that this person is an Eved Hashem and that he's raising himself up in Kedusha. And that's what Hashem says to Avram. I'm going to give you Eretz Canaan. When did Hashem promise Avram that he's going to get Eretz Canaan? When he told him about the Bris Milah. Why? Because Canaan was the worst place in the world that the Goyim practiced the worst kind of Averis. The Pasuk says, Kemaisei Eretz Mitzrayim, Ukemaisei Eretz Canaan, Loi Sasu. You shouldn't do all the different Averis that Mitzrayim and Canaan do. So Hashem said, this land that the Goyim are doing all kinds of the worst sins, this is the land that I gave 10 Kedushas. I gave 10 levels of holiness, and from this place, which was one of the worst places in the world as far as the Goyim are concerned, the Ribbono Shel Olam elevated this land. So in other words, that's a connection between the Bris Milah and Canaan. Hashem said, I'm giving you Canaan. What's a symbol of that? The Bris Milah. Just like the Bris Milah is a sign of Kedusha on the guf of a Jew, so too, and this sign indicates that a person can take the physical world and make it holy, so too, Eretz Canaan, as low as Eretz Canaan was by the Goyim, but it elevated to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And so too, we find, so we've already explained the Omer, we've already explained Mila, what's left to explain is Sota. So Sota also is a food of animals, Sa'orim. Her mincha is also from Sa'orim. Chazal say, why does she get that? Because her actions were actions of an animal, that's why she brings a food of an animal. So Rav Schwab says, it doesn't mean because she committed adultery, she committed an Avera. Because the whole purpose of this korban is to bring the peace between man and wife to show that although she was suspected of doing an Avera, she didn't do an Avera. But the part over here that she acted like a behemoth is the fact that she let herself become under suspicion. She went away in hiding with a strange man. She even though she didn't do any Avera with that man, but she shouldn't have even have gone under the suspicion of hiding with that man. So that's what the Korban is for. So since she was not Sanua, she did something, even though she didn't do a terrible Avera, but she wasn't Sanua, so Hashem commands her, you have to bring a Korban. And your job to do tshuva on what you did, even to let yourself under the suspicion, but that was not a tzniyistik act that you did. So the tshuva for you is to take barley, which symbolizes earthliness, which is Michael Behema, animals eat, and elevate it by bringing a korban. And as we said, you have to strain it. You have to put it through a sifter 13 times, showing that you have to improve yourselves higher and higher and higher. By doing that, you are able to raise the physical, to raise the earthliness of the person, and Maisa Behema, it could become Kedusha. So Memela, Rav Schwab, in a beautiful way, is showing that Eretz Yisrael, Bris Milah, Omer, Sota, all of them have one connection. And that connection is the ability to raise up the gashmius of this world and bring it to Kedusha. So what I wanted to explain is how in fact, what's the roadmap? How does a person do that? We started off this year by saying we want to explain how a person can do ben adam l'chaveroi with depth, not superficial. And now we have a second point. How does a person, in fact, take this physical world and bring it and make himself holier and holier? How do you do it? What's the way to do it? So I think the answer to all these questions is something that I heard at Rav Schlesinger Shir, and that concerns the Omer. The Omer we find is always called Tznufa. Omer HaTznufa. What does HaTznufa mean? It says very often in the Torah concerning the Omer, Tznufa. Tznufa means waving. And we find this by Shlomim. Shlomim was a korban. We find a similar thing by a korban Shlomim. Shlomim was a korban that a person would bring when things were shalom. Things were good. He was happy. He wasn't bringing it for an aveira, a chatos, or he was bringing it to express his thanks to Hashem for the peace, for everything's fine. So at that time, he has to bring shoik hatruma, the chazei atnufa, the thigh that's lifted up, and the breast, which is waved. So the process was that a person, and the same thing is done by a lulav, we do the same thing, and the same thing is done by the korban oimer. It was waved away from a person and toward a person, and then it was lifted up towards the sky, towards Hashem, and down. So what says Reb Samson for Hirsch, what's the idea of that? The idea is, and he adds one more thing, we find that the mincha that is brought, the mincha is made out of flour, and it's made out of oil, and it's made out of lavona, which is a spice, frankincense. And Rav Sansfelher says this speaks about the food is nourishment, oil is prosperity, and frankincense is smelling good spices, shows physical desire. So how does a person elevate all this? He goes back and forth, away from him, towards him, and up and down. What's the idea? The idea is, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and Bein Adam L'Makom. In other words, the way to come to the level of Kedusha that Rav Schwab spoke about, that's if, we just saw here this video from, in the OU, of Roy Klein, a tremendous tzaddik, as we saw, who gave his life for Kiddush Hashem to save other soldiers, and said Shema Yisrael right before he was Nifter. So he's a demonstration of a person whose life was totally not for himself; it was for others. So that's the idea of a person. That's what a person has to work on. How do you make the Bein Adam L'Chaveroi of your fellow friend not superficial? How do you make it real? The way to make it is that it's not for you. It's if you do something for someone else, that you're doing it because you have some benefit, you have an agenda, right? So then it's not the real Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Then it's not sincere. Then it's superficial. But if it's totally because I just want to help somebody else, it's not what I get out of it. This is what we have to strive. And that's the test. A person, you could test yourself. Is my Bein Adam L'Chaveroi sincere or is it not sincere? The way to test is, why am I doing it? Am I doing it anything that I get out? Then it's not sincere. If I'm doing it only for the other person, then it's sincere. So Rav Sansfelher says that the idea by the tznufa, the Omer HaTznufa, and the same by the Shlomim, the idea is everything has to be for others. Either for the community, that's the waving back and forth for the other person, or up and down, that represents that I'm doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Schlesinger also brought down that Shlomo HaMelech, after he finished the building the Beis HaMikdash, he lifted up his hands to Hashem, and Chazal say he was showing that he's Neki Kapayim, that his hands are clean. And the simple understanding is that he was trying to show that I didn't take any money from the Beis HaMikdash. I didn't pocket it. I collected millions and millions of dollars to build the Beis HaMikdash, but nothing went into my pocket. But that's a very difficult thing to say because, first of all, Shlomo was the richest man in the world. And a tzaddik like Shlomo, we're not choshed that he stole money from the treasury. But what Chazal say, what they mean is that I was Naki Kapayim, I didn't get any benefit for myself. A person who built the Beis HaMikdash, he could have, you know, feel good about himself. I built the Beis HaMikdash, a great covet for me that I was able to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he was saying to Hashem. I didn't take anything, not money. I didn't use it in any way for myself, to promote myself. It was all just for our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It was for the Bnei Yisrael to have a place to bring karbanis to Hashem. So I did it for Hashem and for Klal Yisrael. That is what Shlomo Melech was personifying. So I think in this way, this is how you get a sincere Ben Amu Chaveri. And then what Rav Schwab spoke about, that you take the Bahamias, you take the physical world, and you raise it up to Kedusha. How do you do that? You do it when it's not for you. That's what we have to work on. It's a difficult thing to do, but that is what a person has to work on. And then he can bring the Kedusha of Gashmias, he can elevate it to Hashem. And I just want to conclude this abbreviated shiur with an idea that we spoke about, I believe, once before, and that is from the Michtav Elyo. And this actually has to do with last week's Parsha. We find in Parsha Shmini that one of the birds that is prohibited is called the Chasida. And Rashi brings down why she called the Chasida She'oise Chesed Im Chavrusea B'mizonos, that she helps her fellow storks with food. So the Chedusha Rim wanted to know, why is the stork usher to be eaten? We know, the Ramban tells us, that why are all these birds or animals prohibited to be eaten? Because you are what you eat. You're affected by all these wild animals. If you eat some non-kosher animal or non-kosher bird, predator, a bird that will eat other animals and other birds, that will have an effect on you. That character will have an effect on you. So the question is, so why is the chasida prohibited? She does chesed. That's why she's called chasida. So the Ger Rebbe answers, yeah, she does chesed, but she only does chesed with her own kind. And she doesn't do chesed with others. If you're doing chesed by mizonos, if somebody needs food, you don't check, is he a satmer, is he OU, is he young Israel? A person needs food, you give it food. So the simple understanding of this Chedush Arim and Rashi, the chassid is usher because she's not 100%. Let's say she's 50-50. She does 50% good to her friends, but she does 50% not good to those who are not her friends. That's how you would understand it superficially. What I wanted to say, I have it in my sefer, Oyer HaOyreis, on Purim. So there, I wanted to suggest that it's not 50-50. It's 100% not good. And this follows in lines with what we've been saying in the shir till now. That because the Michtav Melayo says that why is it that some people are kafui toive and some people are makar toive? Some people appreciate everything you do and some people do not appreciate when you do for them. And he says because this world is broken down into nosnim and notlim, givers and takers, right? The worst taker is a murderer. The second worst taker is a stealer. And even regular people who don't kill and don't steal, but if you, this is a very high level, but Shlomo Melech says, Sona matane sichya. If you, the person who doesn't want presents lives. If you like to get presents, and most people do, so it means we all have a little netil in us. We have to work on it. Because if you like to get presents, it means you're like the baby who sees himself as the center of the world, and you want people to do for you. And really, you have to be a no-sane The other person is the purpose of the world. You have to help the other person. So, chas shalom, you wouldn't murder, you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't take something from someone for no reason. But if you can get it for nothing, you can get a present, you like it. Shlomo HaMelech says, soine matanis yichya, that if you hate gifts, you live longer. In other words, because then if you come to the level that I don't want to get a gift, it means because you understand that you're here to help other people. So the Michtam Elio says, a person who is a giver, if he gets something, if a person gets something, if a person gets something, so then I'm supposed to be giving you, and you're giving me. So the minimum that I could do is to show my appreciation to you. Because really I should be giving you. So I'm going to try to give you, but if I can't give you, then the minimum is I'm going to express my appreciation for what you've done. But if I see myself as the purpose of the world, so whatever you give me, you should have given me more. And therefore, I don't appreciate what you do. That's how the Michtam Elio explains. Michtam Elio also says a rule that if I give in order to get, it's considered as if I'm getting. In other words, he gives an example. He gives, let's say, today they don't call it a used car salesman anymore. They have a refurbish or something. They don't. Nothing's used car anymore. But pre-owned. That's the word. Pre-owned automobile. So a used car salesman, the way we used to call it, was usually notorious that he was not a honest person. They would give you a 30-day guarantee, and then on the 31st day, the transmission would break, and then you're out. So, what's the pshat? Really, he wants to take the $5,000 from you for the used car, but you're not going to give him $5,000 for nothing. So he has to give you a car. So he's giving you a car, but his purpose is to make you part with your $5,000. So that's giving for the purpose of taking. Giving for the purpose of taking is not called giving. That's called the whole act is considered an act of taking. And with this, the Michtam Elio answers two famous questions. The first question is Esav. How could Esav serve Yaakov with the Gemara says that one of the Tanoim said, I served my mother like a hundredth of that which Esav of Russia served Yitzchak. So, in other words, he was the midah of Kibbud Av by Esav was unbelievable. And Kibbud Av, we know, comes from what the Shoresh, the Chinuch says, Hakor Satov. You appreciate, your parents gave you life, they took care of you. So that's why you show them honor. So on the one hand, Esav is unbelievable, Kibbud Av. He's unbelievable appreciation. He's a no-sane. And on the other hand, how does he serve his father with the clothing that he killed Nimrod? These were the special clothing of Adam Arishan, that if an animal came near to the clothing, it got attracted to the clothing, and you were able to hunt down the animal. So he murdered Nimrod. Murder is the epitome of grabbing. Kibbud Av, the way Esav did it, is the epitome of giving. So what was Esav? Was he a giver or was he a taker? And the same question we have by Knan. Knan left a tzavo, a last will. And what was that? Five things he told his children. Two of them were love one another and love to steal. That's a contradiction. Love one another is a giver. Love to steal means a taker. Which one was it? This is Knan, old man Knan. So, right? So that's the Michtam Elio's question. And he answered with one answer. That Esav was 100% no-tell. And the Canaan was 100% no-tell. But he was giving for taking. Giving for taking is taking. In other words, Esav didn't do it l'shma for appreciate. He didn't appreciate what his father did for him. The Michtam Elio said he wanted his children to give the honor to him like he's giving to his father. Or simple, we could say he wanted the brachas from Yitzchak. So he had to give something. You have to give to get. So he gave him kibbut aveim in a tremendous way. The Michtam Eliyahu says when you do something loy lishma, you could even do it with more power than someone who does it lishma. You're motivated by the lo lishma, not for the right reason. So Esav was unbelievable. In other words, this Tanna was saying, I wish I could do lishma what Esav did loy lishma. Esav was 100 times greater than me in kibbut av, but for the wrong reason. He did it not for the right reason. So I wish I could do it lishma, because I really love my parents, like the loy lishma of Esav. But the point is that Esav was the biggest no-tell. He wouldn't care even if he killed somebody to grab something away from him. Why was he so great to his father? He had ulterior motives. So giving, taking care of his father in order to take something from his father, that's not giving, that's taking. The same thing, Canaan. Who can rob better, an individual or a mafia, a gang? They can rob better because they're a group, so they're stronger. So Esau, Canaan was telling his children, I want you to be the best robbers. How are you going to be the best robbers? By loving one another. You're not loving each other because you're givers. You're loving each other because by loving each other, you help yourself. If you're a tight bond with the other gangsters, so in the end, you're going to help yourself. You'll become richer and richer and richer. But what are you? You're basically a murderer. You're a no-till. You're just giving for the purpose of being a more effective taker. That's not called giving. That's called taking. So this is what I explained, that the Hasidah is not half and half. She's good and she's not good. And that's why the Torah wants you to be 100% good. No, she is a treif chesed. She is Hasidah, but it's a treif chesed. Because the real chesed is when you do good. The Satmar, I have to say, the Satmar, let's say, Bikur Cholim, they do, it doesn't matter what kind of Jew you are, they don't agree with you in their Hashkafa, with what your Hashkafa, but as far as the help they're going to give you, unbelievable what they go to every hospital to help people. So that's not a chesed, that's true chesed, because they're not just doing it for their own kind, they're doing it for everyone. So the Hasidah, who does only for its own kind, that's a proof they're only doing it to preserve themselves. So by helping each other, I'll give you food, I'll take care of you, you'll take care of me. So in Mela, I protect myself, but I'm doing it all for myself. So that's a giving for the purpose of taking, because I want to help myself eventually. We're going to be a good clique of storks together, so it's better if I have your support, then I'll be more effective. But I'm doing it all for myself, like Esav, like Canaan. So Mela, that's called Neutel, that's Treif. So I think this idea also brings out the point that we were saying in this year, that a true chesed, if you want to do Beram HaVeroi, not superficially, but in the days of Sfiras Omer, we want to do it with depth, real. Real is only if it's totally for the other person. If there's anything in it for you, then it means that it's not a true chesed. Like we saw, in fact, it's considered a treif chesed. I just want to close with, I happened to get from my nephew a pamphlet about my brother, Oliver Shalom, and I was reviewing some of the papers that are in there. There was an article when he passed away, Reb David Beremoshes et al. So it opened the article, I think it was in the Hamodia. It opened up by two stories about him, which bring out this concept. The first one was that there was a meeting in, he was in the Bikur Cholim of Bora Park, and they had to bring in new people into the board because the older people were getting old and they had to retire and they needed fresh blood. But the problem was there was a law in the of the Board of Trustees there that there couldn't be more. You couldn't just, let's say they had 10 members, you couldn't add. They wanted to add 3 new members. That 3 have to go out. That was the rule. And nobody wanted to go out. And then, so they were at a stalemate. They didn't know what to do. So suddenly, my brother, Oliver Shalom, spoke up and said, I am resigning. In other words, I'm resigning. If you need, maybe two other people didn't follow him, I don't know. But in other words, if that's what was needed, so he bowed out. And the second example, he once, I think I was there, he was a chairman of a session in the Agudah Convention, and he had prepared, you know, his drusha for many weeks. You have the schus to speak in front of the whole Agudah Convention, and then... He saw the time was very late, and people had to leave. It was the last session, so he got up and he said, "I had prepared remarks, but because the hour is late, I am not saying them, and I'm asking also the two speakers who were supposed to speak to please be brief in their remarks." And he sat down. Meanwhile, he had prepared for weeks to make a beauty, and he had points that he wanted to bring up. But these are two examples of a person who self-sacrificed, because the main thing was what had to be done, not what he was going to get out of it. So in both examples, and that's why at his table he had people who were outcasts of society on his Shabbos table. He would have people who were considered, you know, all kinds of people who were outcasts of society. And very challenging people, and he treated them with dignity. Why? Because his life was not for himself. He's a beautiful example, I think, of a person who totally was either upward, part of the Tenufa Soimer, and also the waving back and forth. His whole life was dedicated either to the community, and also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mitzvah, we should follow in those ways, and we'll be able to bring the Sefirah Soimer to elevate ourselves during this period.